Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, most of you, if you're paying attention, know that the Western culture is in free fall, having long become acclimated to divorce, to premarital sex, to cohabitation. We are finally witnessing the mainstreaming of homosexuality. Now, we can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And that's precisely what my friend Joe Dallas has done. I'm very, very pleased to make available to our listeners Joe's latest book. He's written over 7 books on human sexuality. And there's no one on the planet that deals with this subject better. And what I mean by better is with more compassion and integrity than does Joe Dallas. And I love the subtitle of the book. It's discussing these issues with kindness and with clarity. In my endorsement on the book, I say, I've often said no one understands the subject of same-sex sexuality better than Joe. And this book, in my view, only confirms my convictions. And I'm not just speaking of his formidable knowledge, but his wisdom in the application of that knowledge through crystal clear and concise communication. This is not just an issue. I want everybody to understand this is a very significant issue. In fact, if you look at the foundation of life, on that foundation is a pillar, and that pillar is marriage. It is axiomatic to civilization. That pillar has been broken. And we can sit idly by or we can do something. And the thing you can do is always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. And this book equips you to do just that. Now, if you've read any of Joe's books, you know they're eminently readable. They're laid out in such a way that you can get it, remember it, and use it to make a difference. The book, again, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Or just pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, letter CRI. You can also write me, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Joe, good to have you back on.
Great being here, Hank. Thank you.
Give us, if you will, a state of the union. Just from your perspective, where are we?
We are on the defense. When the culture shifts to a different viewpoint, those holding the traditional viewpoint are now required to explain and even defend their refusal to shift with the culture. You quoted Peter when he said we need to be ready to give an answer. And that word he used, answer, is, to my thinking, a key word in this discussion. We are making our apologia, our defense. That's what this book, Speaking of Homosexuality, is about, because more than ever, the church is required to make a defense for our claim that God indeed defined what he created as existing between a man and a woman exclusively. And because we believe that marriage has a specific definition, which our culture is now veering from, we're called on to defend that position. Here's where it gets dicey, though. We are being called on to defend something we know, but largely have not examined, because we never thought we would have to defend it. As you said earlier, Hank, it seems so self-evident. Our very anatomy testifies to the normalness of a heterosexual union and the abnormalness of a male mating with a male or a female with a female. So what we seem to know intuitively and by observation, we are still being challenged to defend. And sometimes I think defending the obvious can be tough because the thing is so self-evident, we wonder why we are having to defend it. And for that reason, I think many people haven't bothered to think it through.
Okay, let's start with your own life story. You were a gay activist yourself.
I was. I was like many people, Hank. I realized early in life that I was attracted to the same sex. I acted on those attractions at a young age and then heard the gospel and responded. I was born again in 1971 under the ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith at Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, California, during what we often call the Jesus Movement. And I served the Lord very fervently for years while silently wrestling with homosexual temptations. And I reached a point of giving myself permission when I was in my early 20s to give in to those temptations. And then I had a dilemma. I did not want to abandon Christianity. I also didn't want to abandon homosexual practices. And I heard about a church where I would be given permission, sanction, if you will, to express both parts of myself, my spiritual life and my homosexuality. And so I fought for years. When I say fought, I debated on college campuses. I promoted the idea that homosexuality and Christianity were compatible until early 1984, when the conviction of the Holy Spirit, combined with the knowledge that I had had with sound teaching in my earlier years, just became too much for me, and I had to admit I had been kidding myself.
Now, there are three things in the introduction that I want you to reiterate. You say that you knew what you believed, but at first you just didn't know how to state it. And then you knew how to state it, but you didn't know how to defend it, and then you came to the place where you knew how to defend it, but you didn't do it with the right attitude. I think a lot of people can relate.
I think so, yes, because so often we know what we believe, but we've never known how to explain it. And oftentimes, as you mentioned in the introduction of my book, I point out that when I first tried to explain my beliefs, I sputtered through it because the subject can be so emotional that when you try to finesse it too much, you make a fool out of yourself. I'll give you a good example. It's the one I gave in the introduction of the book. When I repented of homosexuality in January of 1984, I needed to tell my gay friends about the decision I had made. So I sat down with some of them and I started trying to explain. Now, I made many mistakes over the years. The first one I made was trying so hard to put it nicely that I got too vague, too hypersensitive, and I lost all clarity. So I said vague things like, I've had kind of a spiritual awakening and I'm not sure that this is right anymore and I am seeking God's will, rather than simply saying I have repented of homosexuality because I have come to believe it is a sin. And what I have found, Hank, is that when people sense that you are trying too hard to finesse your words, you come across as phony, you come across as apologetic and not really convinced of what you're saying. And I'm bringing this up because I think many believers today are so concerned about not giving offense that they're actually dancing pirouettes when they should be speaking plainly, always respectfully and with gentleness, but with clarity. And I find that many people who are either non-Christian or pro-gay appreciate it much more when we are honest and direct and respectful with them, rather than trying to finesse our words so much that we wind up saying virtually nothing.
Joe Dallas, he's the author of Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity. And as he just pointed out, you not only have to know what you believe, but you need to know how to defend what you believe, and you have to do it with the right attitude. I mean, so many people have to have, in the Christian community, an attitude adjustment. It's critical, because whether we win the war or not, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ did not repel. Jesus Christ reached. And we should as well. This is a very dicey topic to be discussing on national radio. In fact, radio that's going around the world. And so we have to talk about this subject in the right way, and that means having the right attitude. And part of having the right attitude is recognizing our own sin. We can't look at others as though they have besetting sins and we don't. We're all struggling with this sin thing. And again, if there's one thing that I appreciate about Joe Dallas, and there's a lot of things I appreciate, but if there's one thing above the others, it is he not only understands the subject, but he deals with this subject with compassion and with character. Speaking of homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and with clarity, available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Be right back with more of Joe Dallas in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
We need your support. With just days left until our fiscal year ends, your support is essential. Nothing we do is possible without listeners like you. And we are asking you to join us in the battle for life and truth by offering a generous gift to ensure that gospel truth delivered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast continues to change lives now and for eternity. To pledge your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Marxism, rebranded as socialism today, is making a comeback, and in the politics of the progressive left, the makeover is complete. But Marxist theory suffers the same malady as every materialist theory. It contradicts the existence of the theorist. Other topics include, what's the problem with conversion therapy? Does Galatians 5 forbid the use of medicine? The films of Alfred Hitchcock in the age of Instagram, honoring dishonorable parents. Athanasius, a C.S. Lewis of the early church, the historicity of Moses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Talking to Joe Dallas today, his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issue with kindness and clarity. It is available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. There are those that would say, Joe, that Jesus never mentioned homosexuality, and yet you wrote a whole book on it. What gives?
Yes, well, I have often responded to that by first pointing out that Jesus did, in Matthew 19, reiterate the Creator's original intention for the sexual and marital union when he said, "Don't you know that he who created them from the beginning created them male and female? For this cause a man shall leave his father, cleave to his wife, the two will become one flesh. What God's joined together, let no one set asunder." Now, we have chipped away at that definition, haven't we, for decades. It was a union defined as permanent. What God has joined together, let no one set asunder. That's been chipped away at. It's been defined as monogamous. They will become one flesh, an independent unit. That's been chipped away at. We saw in the 70s the swingers movement that introduced polygamy as a lifestyle. And now we're chipping away at the male-female definition of it. However, Hank, besides all of that, I should point out that while we don't know for sure that in his earthly ministry Jesus did not mention homosexuality, after all, the Gospels don't record everything he said, so he very well could have publicly commented on it, and we don't have a record of it. But it's significant to me, if he did not mention it, that that alone is a very powerful argument against it, because he knew he was speaking largely to multitudes of people who held to the law of Moses. And Jesus was nothing if not a radical when it came to overturning people's misconceptions. If they had misconceptions about the law or misconceptions about life, he very plainly would challenge those misconceptions. Now, he had a perfect opportunity when he spoke, if he approved of homosexuality, to challenge the misconception that homosexuality was a sin. He could simply have said, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not lie with a man as with a woman. It's an abomination. But I say unto you that two men who love each other deeply can form a union, and it's a marriage." He had ample opportunity to say that. And being God, he surely knew for how many centuries people would misinterpret the Bible into thinking that homosexuality was a sin, if indeed it was not. And so he would have had that opportunity to correct that misconception if it was a misconception. Why didn't he? Because, of course, it was not a misconception. If he was silent on the subject, his silence confirmed the traditional position.
Talk about the consequences of marriage redefinition. I think a lot of people have already become numb to this. It's no big deal. It's been around for a while. What's your problem? Talk about the implications.
Well, the proof of the success of redefinition, Hank, lies in the fact that when you compare the redefinition of marriage to the literal redefinition of biology according to subjectivity in the life of a child, same-sex marriage is looking kind of tame. I mean, it's already largely lost its shock value because we're no longer arguing about homosexuality. Now we're arguing about whether or not children can change sex and whether or not grown anatomical males should be allowed to walk right into the public restrooms designated for females. So I think that one of the obvious results of redefinition is it has opened the floodgates to even more extreme redefinitions. But this, again, is the price a culture pays for social experimentation. We tried a social experiment back in the 70s with no-fault divorce, and all the experts seemed to say it's the humane thing to do, it's not nice to make people stay in marriages they're unhappy in, so let's redefine marriage as no longer being a permanent covenant. And nobody will be hurt. The kids will be fine. Now, 3-plus decades later, we're all kind of saying, oops. But, of course, that horse is out of the barn. Now we again engaged on a massive social experiment solidified by the Supreme Court's 2015 decision to greenlight the redefinition of marriage. We're already reaping a whirlwind, both in the floodgates of confusion opening about gender issues, because you'll notice right in the aftermath of the redefinition of marriage, when it was sanctioned by the Supreme Court, that is when we began these large public debates over transgender people, whether or not laws should compel the average citizen to recognize that if a person says he is a woman or she is a male, we must comply with their self-perception, and whether or not it's appropriate for children to be allowed that self-identification, and whether or not Christian organizations should have sanctions placed on them if they do not comply with this redefinition. So we have the one major consequence of social confusion, massive social confusion. We have the other consequence of a growing hostility towards the Bible-believing church, a hostility expressed in more and more government reach into the life of the church to dictate to Christian organizations and businesses how they may or may not define marriage and how they may or may not define something as basic as male versus female.
Would you conceive it even possible that this book could not be published next year or in a few years?
Oh, Hank, that's a distinct possibility. The public right now is being taught and largely convinced that those who hold a traditional view are bigots, and bigots must be silenced because they are destructive and they are dangerous. And so if the public can be convinced that it is bigotry to hold a traditional view, and then if lawmakers can be persuaded to pass laws against expressing such views, and if an appointed Supreme Court is largely in favor politically with the viewpoints of the more liberal party, what's to stop that kind of silencing? All you have to do is basically convince the public that it is hateful and dangerous to say you believe marriage is strictly a heterosexual union and that the sex you're born in is the sex you will always be. Convince the public that that is hurtful to people, and the public will basically say, okay, then silence those hateful people. And that is what we're facing as a church today, Hank. We really are.
Many of the things that I say on the Bible Answer Man broadcast are thought to be far too controversial in Canada, and therefore they're blocked. I can't talk about these things in England. There are major radio stations there that want the broadcast, but only if I will curtail my speaking and eliminate some of these issues.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to be seeing more of this, Hank. A lot of people say that Christians will be persecuted just because we claim to be Christians. I don't think it's that simple. If you claim to believe in Jesus Christ, and that's the extent of your doctrinal clarity, I think you'll get along just fine in this culture. But if you hold to Christian distinctives about the nature of God, the exclusivity of Christ as the only way to God, the existence of hell, the fallen nature of humanity, and the definition of the family, those are the Christian distinctives that will get you in trouble. So I don't believe it's just those who identify as believers who will suffer from censoring and silencing and lawsuits and any number of punitive measures. It'll be those of us who hold to these distinctives.
Joe, I want to ask you a final question. There are so many people who probably have the idea, look, this is a ship that's passed. We cannot win this debate. Why bother with it?
We continue to speak truth as stewards of truth, first and foremost, because we're commissioned as ambassadors to do so. Hank, when you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God is not going to ask us how many people believed us. He's going to ask us how faithfully we stewarded the truth he commissioned us with. Secondly, let's never forget that whatever laws may be passed, whatever direction the culture may go, there will always be people who respond both to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the revealed truth of God in Scripture. This is true, for example, of the abortion argument. Now, there's a ship which passed 30-plus years ago. Yet nobody is saying, let's stop speaking out against the killing of the unborn just because the culture has sanctioned the killing of the unborn, because it remains wrong. So let's not modulate our approach to truth by how well it's being received. Let's recognize that ambassadors are commissioned to steward the message of the one who sent them, regardless of the environment or the response which comes from the environment.
Joe, thanks for joining us on the broadcast and for writing this book. I know it's going to bless a lot of people and make a difference.
Thanks so much for having me, Hank. Always a pleasure talking with you.
And Joe Dallas, again, the book, Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and with clarity, both are needed. We need to understand this issue. We need to be able to reach as opposed to repel. And all of us need to recognize that there, but for the grace of God, go I, and I too am a sinner. It is only the foreign righteousness of Jesus Christ that allows me to go into the presence of our Lord. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast. Thanks for standing with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. This is the last week to give your gift to help close our financial year in a position of strength. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.